Hello, beloved. This is Pastor Steve Castle. I'm so honored that you've chosen to listen to us today. If there's any additional information that you need, please visit our website at www.belovedchurchillinois.com. We thank you that you are continuing to give God an opportunity to minister to your hearts. He has amazing, wonderful plans for your life. We would love to join you on the journey of you finding out the depths of the relationship that you could have with Him. You were created in His image for a beautiful purpose, and He wants to show you that purpose. We continue to believe God with you and for you to accomplish that goal. If you're in the area, please stop by. Remember, at Beloved Church, this is the place where you are greatly loved. God bless you. Talk to you soon. Bye. I'm going to, starting next week, I'm going to start a four-part series. I'm going to talk about Mark chapter 4, where Jesus did the sower who sows the word of God, sows the seed. And I'm going to do a four-part series on the four different types of hearts and what that means and how to correlate that to your life and to your heart so you know how you can get the benefit of 30, 60, and 100-fold out of the Word of God. And so I kind of wanted to start it tonight, but the Lord wanted to take me a different direction. He wanted me to talk emotions tonight. Amen. We're going to talk about emotions. And the name of this is climate control because we have a responsibility to, here's how this came to be. I was in the shower in the bathroom, and I was praying about a certain person because they were really struggling with some emotional battles, how they couldn't get it kind of under control. They were being led around by their emotions, and what the Lord told me was they had a dictator in their life. Their emotions were dictating to them. And I said, I can totally see that, Lord. He says, they're supposed to have a king. I'm the king. And so basically the way he said that to me was, you can either have a dictator and have your emotions dictate to you who you are, or you can have a king and have him rule your life. Which obviously then puts your emotions in subservience to the king. You know, a king, if you understand how the kingdom works, a king in a kingdom is absolute authority. He's supreme. There is no one or nothing in that kingdom that does not fall under his domain, his reign, his rule. Kings don't have to check with, unless it's a parliamentary system, but kings don't have to check with any advisors. They can, but they don't have to. A king can just say, everybody's wearing green on Tuesday. And when the king says it, it's done. No, which is really awesome to understand. There's a difference between having a dictator who just comes in and forces you to do things that you don't want to do versus a king. And obviously in our kingdom, we have a king that loves us, who appreciates us, who wants to pour out into our lives blessings and experiences and intimacy and tangible benefits to his kingdom. So when he does approach you about things in your life, it's obviously to get things out of the way for him to bring in or usher in things that are going to benefit your life. Which is why the Bible is so clear on when you're being chastened by a good father, you need to be an adult, you need to be mature and say, okay, obviously something in my life is out of balance. Lord, please help me. Because if you're telling me to do something different, that means you're trying to lead me in a way that's going to have more benefit for my life. Why would you lead me somewhere that's going to cause me damage, hurt, and pain? That's not a good father. That's a bad father. And he's in hell. He's not allowed to go to heaven. Right? Amen. Dennis told us that. And so he's not up there telling our Father God to do bad stuff to us. So I want to talk about the fact that your emotions are not supposed to be dictating to you. They are supposed to be, God put them in you to be responses to him. so that you could experience Him, spirit, soul, and body. We're supposed to experience God the way He was meant to be experienced, which is holy, completely. 2 Thessalonians 5:23 says that I pray that God sanctify you wholly, spirit, soul, and body. Make righteous spirit, soul, and body. That means there's an experience for all three parts of the way we live. God didn't want to make this some big dangling carrot that hangs over our head. You know, one day you'll get to heaven, but just go ahead and grind through the earth. No, we are supposed to be ruling and reigning. And I don't know if you read Revelations, but heaven's coming here. We're not going there. I don't know if you read that part or not. But heaven, the celestial city, is coming to earth. You know, we need to make a landing place. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. You guys will get that on Thursday. All right, let's go to Mark chapter 7. Jesus was talking to Pharisees and scribes. And let me go ahead and put you in the right frame of mind here. A Pharisee and a scribe was way holier than you've ever been. Amen. Didn't get a single amen on that one. A Pharisee and a scribe is way holier than you've ever been, outwardly. Their lives, their outward expression of their religion is holier than you could ever imagine. Some of them took them the essence, took it so much to the extreme that they literally would count their steps on the Sabbath to keep it under a certain number, and they were not allowed to have a bowel movement on the Sabbath because it was considered work. So I don't know about that Mediterranean diet, but you might want to avoid it. They tithe off the spices in their garden. When's the last time you grew 10 carrots and gave one to your pastor? Hint, hint. No, you don't have to give me carrots. I don't want your carrots. Keep your carrots. But the point is that they took the Word of God so stringently, so legally, that their outward expression of holiness is greater than you could ever possibly imagine. But Jesus was the only people that he basically fussed at in the whole Bible. He called them your whitewashed sepulchers, your painted tombs, you're full of dead man's bones, your snakes and vipers. I mean, he was ruthless with these guys because they thought that their outward expression of their religion was earning them some kind of favor with God. And there's something that's really key right here that Jesus says in verse 13 in Mark 7, that not only were they not producing what they thought they were producing, but they were actually stopping the flow of what could produce in their life. Remember in John chapter 7 where Jesus says, where Jesus said, "You search the Scriptures, for in them you think that you have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me." Jesus is the Word. John chapter 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John's the Word, or Jesus is the Word. And so here's Jesus telling the Pharisees, Sadducees, the scribes, the religious uppities, that not only were they not producing externally the benefits that they had been hoping to produce in their life from all of their exuberant action, but on top of that, what could bring them salvation, what could bring them release, they were actually nullifying that as well. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered. Through your tradition, which you have delivered. The traditions of men make the Word of God of none effect. That'll spin your head if you think about it. People think that they're getting to God by their works. You actually take yourself away from God by your works. Works should be something that are naturally produced from your heart because of your love and your relationship for your Father. Amen. If I tried to earn Kay's love by works, did I really get her love? Or did I just manipulate her? Amen. Praise God. Making the Word of God of none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, spoken, told, taught. Just because a religious person has a lot of knowledge of the Bible Just because they have DR in front or behind their name does not necessarily mean that the words that are coming out of their mouth are inspired, are the logos of God. There's a difference. There are things that come out of religious people's mouths. There are things that even come out of non-religious people's mouths, but they come out with the wrong heart or the wrong purpose, that actually cause the Word of God to not become effective in our lives. This is really important. They make the Word of God of no effect. That word, none effect, means to nullify or cancel. I'll remind you that there's a scripture in the Bible that says that the Word of God, the Word shall not return unto God void, but it will accomplish whereunto it was sent. You know, it's not null or void. It's not of none effect to God. You follow me? But it becomes of none effect to you in your life. You know what that means is, Mary can be sitting next to Francine at church. Mary can get her socks blessed off and get the things that she needs in order to walk out there and live in victory. And Francine can sit there and get mad at Mary because she got it and she didn't. You follow me? It's really important. This is really, really, really important. This means that you have a responsibility. Your job is not just to come here and fight off sleep. Your job is to come here with your heart open, purposeful to receive the things from God. And if you do it with the unction of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said in John chapter 16 that if you allow the Holy Spirit to help you filter the things that come out, even if I preach something and I make a mistake, if you ask the Holy Spirit to bring things to your remembrance, He will only bring things to your remembrance which were the words of Jesus. Which means if I make a mistake and I say something wrong, God will actually, if by your faith you can interact with the Holy Spirit and He can remove that and substitute in the truth. Amen. I'm not perfect. John, my big brother, who I love and adore and I idolize for a bunch of my life, is here. And about 6 months into the church, I don't even think half of y'all know this story. About 6 months into the church, here we are. I'm an exuberant pastor. I'm going to change the world. You know, one Pearl City in heart at a time. And we had this fellow that was coming to church, and he was a good guy. I mean, he just, to this day, I'll tell you, he was a good guy. Came nearly every Sunday we were having church, and he worshiped, and he just was really getting floored by the things we were teaching and preaching, and just a great guy. And I really had a soft spot in my heart for this guy. He went through a horrible divorce. All this stuff happened, and anyway, he ended up living out here. He had no car, he had no job, and he was just barely getting by. And he's living in Pearl City, so even if he could go out and get a job, there's nothing in Pearl City. He needed a car to get a job. He needed a job to get a car. So he was in this cycle. And so I was like, you know what? We need to bless this guy. That's what churches do. Bless folks. Help them get on their feet. Right? Help do stuff for them. That's what churches do. Amen. We're a good church, right? Amen. Everybody's with me. Amen. So we get together. I make calls. John donates a car. I think it might have been even Hope or Faith's car. Donates a car to us, and we get some money together. I mean, we've only got like 20 or 30 people in the church. We don't even have money. I mean, it took us like a month's worth of tithes and offerings to do all this kind of stuff, and we finally got it all together. We gave the guy this car. I worked on it and made it right, and we even gave him a check that had money enough to get the title transferred, get the registration on it, and put a full tank of gas in it. And he came to church Sunday, and he had no idea, and it was, I don't even remember who was there. It was me and Kay and somebody. Anyway, we handed him the key. He went outside after church. I said, hey, don't leave yet. And he went outside, and I went out there and handed him the keys, and I handed him the check, and I said, we're blessing you, dude. Dude fell on the ground. He was crying, and I was crying, and everybody. It was like this whole thing. And we were like, oh, praise God. This is what the glory feels like. And then I'm at work on Monday, the next day, at night, and I get a call from a guy in the church, and he said, hey, I'm going to text you a website address, and I want you to look at it. So he texted it to me. And there was a story. Man from Illinois goes to Texas and gets arrested for kidnapping 13-year-old girl who he was planning to molest on for the rest of his life. In a Volvo with John Castle's name on it. Amen. 6 months into church. We got 20 faithful souls coming to follow after the man of God, Steve Castle. Came all the way up here on the passion of God, started church. Amen. Going to show everybody how to live by the Spirit. And gave a pedophile a car. You better hope you got the Holy Spirit. You better hope you got the Holy Spirit and you know how to interact with Him. You know, that could have wrecked the ministry. I mean, God knows that my heart was pure. John's heart was pure. Kay's heart, our hearts were pure. We did the best. And I really believe the reason that he was caught before anything happened, they literally had like a dragnet thing going on. They were waiting for him. They knew he was coming. They were waiting for him. As soon as he pulled up, they jumped out. They got him. They had all the emails and all the everything. So nothing ever happened. But for me, I was like, I can't even pastor 20 people. Jesus, are you sure you called the right guy? Look what I did. John's calling me, dude, the detectives are calling me from Texas. What'd you not do with the car? I'm like, dude, I promise I was trying to make it right. And just this whole thing, and I didn't do it right. He's like, oh, okay, it's cool. Got grace from my brother. Praise God. Church gave me some grace. And, you know, now we're on and everything's cool. And all y'all didn't know that story until right now. And so I've just humbled myself in front of you. But the point of that is that you are always open to make mistakes, which is why the interaction of the Holy Spirit bringing the Word of God to you so you don't just follow after the traditions of men delivered unto you, give you access to the truth, what's right. You know, had I been sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit, I could have said, you know, we probably need to hang out with this fellow a little longer, get deeper into his heart, find out what's going on. Maybe there's something else, obviously. Amen. The Holy Spirit has a way of bringing the Word of God into effectiveness in your life. But you have to remove, you know, what preacher so-and-so's story is and what the cool 3 points in a poem that you got last Sunday at service, and you have to filter out all that stuff that's not Word, that's not Jesus, in order for your heart to be sensitive to the voice of God. The Word of God becomes no effect to a person who's just receiving it out of traditional or out of somebody else's traditional way of being declared to them. That's so important. I'm not here to entertain you. I'm here to hopefully give you the truths that will make it so your life becomes bulletproof. And if a bullet gets through, then you've got a great physician. Amen? This is really important. You have to come with an expectancy. You have to come with your heart open up. As much as I study hours and hours and hours in the Word of God and praying and meditating on these truths and making them right, it's all for naught if your heart's not ready to receive it. You got to come expecting. You got to come with an open mind, with an open heart, ready to receive and rely on the Holy Spirit to reject the things that are not right and to retain the things that are right. Amen. Praise God. In verse 14, and when he had called all the people together, the reason it's all because it was sinner, saint, religious, non-religious, he called everybody together. He was using this as an example to everybody. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, hearken unto me, every one of... Gloria Copeland says that means you're supposed to listen to Kenneth Copeland. Hear Ken. Hearken. All right. It was better when she said it. Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand. There is nothing from without a man that entereth into him that can defile him. But the things which come out of him, those are the things that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. If any man have, he called all men unto him. He called all men unto him. So obviously everybody that was standing there had ears. Are you all with me? That's not too deep, right? Okay. So he called all men unto him, and then he said, hearken. And then he told them this, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. Which is his way of saying it's deeper than it sounds. There's a truth that's in there that's deeper than just the surface truth. Okay, this is what I was just telling you. When you come to church, you're not looking for these surface truths. You're looking for the deep things that go into your heart. Deep cries out to deep. Praise God. Defile means treating what is sacred as common or ordinary, not special. Oh, this is so important. This is so important. The things that defile you don't come from the outside in. They're not tangible. They're not foodstuffs. They're not all the things that people want to implicate Christians or non-Christians for doing. It's not the way you look. It's not the way you dress. It's not your twang or lack thereof. If you have a twang, you're more holy than if you don't. It's not none of those things. What it is your heart. Jesus was talking about a part of a person that the average person in his day and the average person in our day completely neglects. Because they're worried about their mind, they're worried about their spirit, and they're mostly concerned about their flesh, their body, taking care of the outward person. And Jesus was talking to them about their heart, the core, the center of who they are, and how they believe, and what they believe, and who they are, and what goes in and what goes out. The heart. Jesus spent an incredible amount of time talking about the heart. And the average Christian today doesn't even know what a heart is. Really, really, really important. Defile means to make something not special that was special. So the things that go into your heart or go out of your heart determine whether your heart is being made special. Man, that's deep. It's not... You know, I can go and talk wonderfully about Chad. You're an awesome guy. I think you're great. And I want to do all these amazing things with you. And God's going to do all these kind of, and if I just bless his outward person and he sits there and is like, well, yeah, I am. I'm good looking and tall, dark, and handsome. And yeah, I didn't do anything for his heart. Nothing. Our hearts are so important, and yet so often we spend all this time, all this effort, all this energy with the outward man, with the mind. Remember, I'm talking about emotions here. This is important that we get this. Your heart is the generator of the things that you should be feeling, or it is the receptor of things that are forced on it. Verse 17, and when he had entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable, and he said unto them, are ye so yet without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing that entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and it goes out into the draught, purging all meats. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. That which cometh out of the man, out of where? Out of your heart. Out of your heart. There are things that you say that are surface. Jesus calls them idle words. There's things that you just say just to say it. You know what? You do not need to talk about the weather as much as you talk about it. You're not going to change it. I'm just telling you, you're not going to change it. If you need to speak to a storm and tell it to go away, then be like Jesus and do it. But for the rest of the other conversations, they're unnecessary. We don't need to talk about the coolest TV show and all the stats from the last game and all that kind of stuff. And I'm not saying that it's evil. I'm not saying that it's sin, okay? Take me right. But there's important things that you need to do for your heart. And you need to be fully aware of your heart and how important it is and what it is, where it is, what adds to it, and what subtracts from it. My son, Proverbs chapter 4, attend unto my words, verse 20. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep your heart with all diligence, For out of it flow the issues of life. Oh, it's so good. It's so good. And people just ignore their heart. It's not a big deal, Pastor. I can watch rated R stuff. It's not a big deal to me. I'm grown up enough. Those images don't bother me. If there's two things there. A, if those images don't bother you, your heart is so calloused. It's so dark that you need serious 911 medical alert emergency help. Or two, you're lying. And it is affecting you. And it's producing runaway emotions, which is where we're going. Your emotions should not run away from you. Your emotions should not dictate to you. Your emotions should not tell you what's going on. And this isn't about TV. This is about anything that goes into your heart. Anything that goes into your heart and anything that comes out. Praise God. Praise God. I guess this ain't one of them shouting sermons. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Now, I was looking at this in the Greek, and I couldn't understand something, and I just kept looking, and the Spirit of God helped me out. In the Greek, on an interlinear Bible, it puts the Greek words and the English words next to each other, and all that stuff doesn't mean nothing. But anyway, the point is that right after, go back a verse, Craig. And he said, that which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. Okay, I'm sorry, go forward. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. Right there after evil thoughts, there's this little dashy thing. I don't even know what it's called. But anyway, there's this little dashy thing that says that there's like a break. What we would probably use as like a colon or a semicolon. And so what he said is, from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts. Colon. Adulteries, fornications, murders, on and on and on and on and on. Those are where those things come from. And if you think about it, it makes a lot of sense. Somebody just doesn't wake up on Monday and go brush your teeth and stumble into adultery. Whoa, what just happened? You plan it out. You think about it. It comes from your heart first. You have to think about it. You have to make plans for it. I know. I've defiled my marriage. Praise God for His grace. I've been there. I know you got to plan it. You got to work it out. You got to make everything work. You don't just go murder somebody because, you know, it's Tuesday and you're bored. It comes from you got to go out and do that on purpose. Your heart has to already be defiled to the point where you can take the life, to where you can look at another created person and say that I want to stop the creation by the hand of God in their life. Just like abortion, you have to get to a desensitized place in your life at some way, at some point, where you can say, it's not really a baby. It really is a baby. Amen. That sign out there on 20 gets me every time. Dr. Seuss says that people's a people no matter how small. Man, that's so good. A people's a people no matter how small. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts. And that word thoughts is self-based reasoning. Self-based reasoning. It's not thoughts like good thoughts, like thinking on the things of God. It's self-based reasoning. If you think about you, if you become the most important thing in your life, you will figure out which one of these things are going to bring satisfaction into your life. You will. I promise you. You look at anything in your life that is you would consider sin, which is missing the mark of your divine creation. You look at anything in your life that's gotten in there, and you will find out that all that was some kind of way to serve self. And most of the time, it was a temporary fix. And it had eternal consequences. A self-based thought will lead you to these things. Okay, now we're getting positive, I promise you. I'm not trying to take us all down somewhere. But I want to show this. This is really important. The production in your life of good and or evil coming out of you, your actions, your works, your emotions are a derivative of the things that you're thinking about, meditating on, and believing in your heart. In your heart. Which means that, you know, there could be just a flyby, a drive-by statement that somebody could launch at you, and it just hits you and pings off and falls on the ground. I try to live my life this way. When people criticize me, I just like, I know, I get it. I'm an easy target because I love everybody. And so it's easy to criticize me. And I'm cool with that, but I just let it bounce off because I know that my Father loves me and I'm trying to do something for the kingdom of God. And not everybody's on board with that. They killed Jesus. I'm in pretty good company if I'm, you know, if the religious people don't like me much. Amen? I'm not trying to make enemies. I'm trying to love folks, but some folks are hard to love. Amen? Come on. Some of y'all got those folks in your life. For from within, out of the heart of man, proceed those evil thoughts. You have to put those things in there on purpose. They don't just come and fly. Brother Hagin says it this way. You know, birds can fly over your head, but you can stop them from making a nest in your hair. That's important. Things are going to come at you. We live in a defiled world. This world is fallen. Folks in this world are a wreck. If you ain't paid attention, then I'd hate to bust your bubble. But there's some folks out there that just are lost and like doing circles lost. And they need to know the truth. And while they're lost, they would rather be lost with somebody. They want to take you there with them. You have to on purpose put things into your heart in this world that are kingdom oriented, that are love-oriented, that are Jesus-oriented, that are grace-oriented. You just can't go sit on the couch and put on the boob tube and expect your spiritual senses to be heightened to the point of spidey senses. It doesn't work that way. The things that are pumping into you from that, and this is totally not a sermon about TV. I don't know why I keep going back to TV. But there are things, you know what things are in your life. It could be people at work. It could be water cooler conversation. It could even be things that you just meditate on. Here's an important thing. If you meditate on you failing, you will produce thoughts and emotions that correlate with what you're thinking about. If your kids are not acting right and all you're thinking about is how far down they're going to go before they hit bottom, guess what? You're pushing them off the cliff. Thought I'd get more amens than that. I got one. God bless you, Cindy. There is such an important part of the Christian life about what goes into and what comes out of your heart. And like Jesus said here, the things that come out of your heart defile, which is treating what is sacred as common or ordinary or not special. You can hurt a person with your words if you do them from your heart, purposeful towards them. This is really important. Sticks and stones will break my bones, but names will never hurt me. You know why you can say that when you're a kid? Because it's true. Stupid little names, they don't hurt you. You know why you can't say that when you're an adult? Because you're probably saying it from your heart on purpose to hurt them. Things that come out of your heart directed at people is what causes them, people, to not feel special. And I got to tell you, if God took the time to create that person and to breathe the breath of life into them, there is no one more special than the person that you're talking about, the person that you're talking to. If you're married to that person, guess who gave you that person? God Almighty. God Almighty. How are you treating that gift? If God gave you a gift, you know, Jesus said, those who are faithful with little be made ruler over much. How are you treating the gift of the person that God has given you? And you want to be ruler over how much again? Proverbs 23:7 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Proverbs 18:21, Craig. Proverbs 18:21 says, "Life and death are in the power of the tongue." Life and death are in the power of the tongue. Why? Because you can use your tongue as an extension of your heart. This is what I'm doing. I'm not talking to your head. I am diligent about coming in here with the unction and the anointing of the Spirit of God so that I can get through your head into your heart. These are truths that I don't want to just land in your head and stay there. I want them to get deeper than that, because if they get into your heart, then the Spirit of God can add power to them and it will change your life. It will change your life. It will change your life. Death and life are in the power of the tongues. Praise God. Proverbs 15:13. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. A merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. Now we're about to get real. A merry heart. What in the world do you got to be merry about? Oh, praise Jesus. How about this? You have an awesome pastor.
Amen.
That went over like a lead balloon. A merry heart. You know, some of you are probably struggling with stuff because you are a Christian sucking lemons. I didn't mean you and like in this room, because none of you are ever walking around frowny face. Everybody in here is always happy. And so therefore you're walking in great levels of divine health, because obviously a merry heart makes a cheerful countenance, but by the sorrow of the heart, the spirit is broken. I mean, you got spirit here means attitude. You know, obviously everybody in here has a great, wonderful attitude 7 days a week, 365 days a year, because you're walking around merry. Amen. Dennis looking around smiling there, buddy. Let me read this. Let me read this in the New Living Translation, one of those almost inspired versions. A glad heart makes a happy face. You can't even read that without smiling. A glad heart makes a happy face. You know what? There are signs on a person to tell you what's going on in their heart. I cannot tell you how many times people have come up to me and said, "You seem like you're always having a good time. You seem like a happy person. You smile a lot." Different language, different people. All the time people are like that. What are you smiling about? What are you brewing? What are you planning? I'm not planning nothing. I got a great life. I'm the pastor of a church. I've got an amazing wife who's got more grace than most people can even fathom. I've got beautiful children who are serving God, who are headed the right direction in their life and in their education. I got a Savior who died on a cross for me, who died the worst way anybody could die. And if it just would have been me on this planet, he would have done it. Man, what is wrong in my life? Well, people hate you. They hated Jesus. You know what? They're not going to be my neighbor in heaven. Amen. That'll make a happy face. That'll make a happy face. If you really believe that this good news was as good, what happens when somebody tells you good news? Hey, guess what? Stacy, I just got a letter in the mail and I'm a trillionaire and you can have all you want. Oh, she frowned. No, she smiled. That's good news. You know, the good news, if you really have the good news in you, it would be on you. How many people do you know that you just woke up to them, and even folks from church, and they're just having a bad day, and it started about 26 years ago. And to me, sometimes I'm like, man, you really need to get born again, but I don't know how to do that, because you can't get born again. And I know that you got born again at one point. How do you get somebody born again? You need like a face translation. Amen. Translate, transfigure it like Jesus. Somebody needs to just come glow all up in your face. You need a Mary Kay makeover, and you need it painted on, a smile, and then maybe it'd be okay. You'll look in the mirror, see yourself smiling, and you'll pretend. A merry heart, a glad heart makes a happy face. I can tell you, based upon our conversations, based upon the way that you carry yourself, based upon how much you do or do not avoid me, what's going on in your heart? You know, it doesn't take a whole lot of spiritual incognivity by me to figure out what's going on in your life when you won't answer my phone call. Amen. Kay's, yeah, your phone was shut off. My battery was dead. I had a one guy tell me, oh, my SIM card was dead. Oh, for how long? A day? Oh, okay. Your SIM card died. I didn't know SIM cards die. I guess they might. I don't know. A merry heart, a glad heart makes a happy face. You know, I got to tell you, it is time for us to really take our hearts back. Amen. It's time for us to take our hearts back. Emotions have done a really good job of telling you how you're going to feel. They've been great dictators. But it's time to shoot that guy. We're going to have a coup. We're going to sneak into the dictator's office, and when he's not looking, we're going to kill him. And we're going to install a king. His name's Jesus. And he's going to bring us good news. It's called the gospel. And he, you know what? He's going to show up, and when he shows up, he's going to say, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because he has anointed me to heal the sick, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the awesome, amazing, wonderful year of the Lord. And then everybody's hearts are going to get merry, and they're going to show the world what's going on in their heart by their face. Okay, four of you are going to do it. We'll start us a little side church. We'll be the happy church, the folks that believe the good news. But we, you know what happens? We let so much into our heart that even if we do get a little chunk of good news, and it only lasts for this long, because you get this much good news and you get this much news from the world. And you know, I got to tell you, John 10:10 is really real. The evil ones come to kill you, to steal from you, and to destroy you. And he'll use any media available. He'll use your neighbors. He'll use your radio. And it could even be a Christian radio station. I've heard them. Some of them no good. You have to guard your heart. If you let the kingdom of God into your heart, it will come out in your face. And I'm not talking about just walking around with a plastered smile. I'm talking about being real with it. Like, it's actually, you're living a good life. You're in one of the wealthiest countries that's ever existed since mankind has been on this planet. You have great things available to you. Not a single person in this room, I wouldn't do anything for you. Up to and including give you everything I own. There are people that love you. There are people that call you incessantly sometimes to try to invite you into connecting with them so that they can benefit your life. You have clean water at all times almost. Amen. Unless you're in the bathroom. They were talking about that at Couples Connect. For some reason, all the water in the bathroom is defiled by the flush of a toilet. I still don't understand. You guys still have to figure out the science on that. But you have access to clothing. I know places where I can send you right now that I know for a fact, three places you can get free clothes. You can get free food. I know six places right now I can send you to and give you free clothes, food. I mean, what is wrong? But what about this thing happened to me when I was a kid? I'm not trying to be non-empathetic, okay? But you were a kid. Now you're not. Do you really want that to continue to be the luggage that you carry around for the rest of your life? Or would you rather sever ties with that, really believe that you were born again, and all things have become new? Do we really believe this? This is really important when it comes to the things of the kingdom of God. You know, last night, there are times in Kay and I's life we would have paid any amount of money to go and do what we did last night. To just sit in 2 hours and just let the Spirit of, and just worship from awesome, awesome people worshiping and doing and gifts of the Spirit. And people got healed. I mean, there are times in our lives we went years and we never seen anything like that. Years. And I can't, there were people staying away from the meeting last night by the thousands. Well, I don't get it. If there's something that's available to you that can help you wash away the effects of this world and evil things that evil people have done to you under the inspiration of an evil devil, why wouldn't you want to give the inspiration of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God, the same access or greater into your heart? You working overtime at your job and skipping church is going to make you broke. Because money does not give you life. Money actually takes life from you because the more you have, the more you have to serve it. Amen. Why don't you try to being broke and loving Jesus and see how long you stay broke? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I think there's a scripture that says that. And then He'll take care of all those other things in your life. But no, you don't understand, Pastor. This is really important. Important to what? Important to my personal kingdom. Well, which kingdom do you want to live in? His or yours? Well, I want to be in His, but right now I'm in mine and I don't want to leave. I will call you a cab. Praise God. This is not a commercial about church. But you need to go to church. You need to get all of the word that you can get in your heart and real word. And I can tell you, for me, I can't tell you about other folks, but I can tell you for me that I promise you I'm doing the best I can to preach from my heart with the purity of the Word of God so that there's no traditions being delivered unto you from men, that this comes straight from the oracles of God. I believe that the Spirit of God has filled me, and so I'm believing I'm giving you the best that I can give you. If it wasn't true, I would not say it. Amen. Praise God. Jesus cannot be the Lord of your emotions unless He is the King of your heart. Jesus cannot be the Lord of your emotions until He's the King of your heart. And that means every piece of it. Jesus cannot sit in your heart. He sits on the throne of your heart. Anytime you ever want to remove Him from the throne room of your heart, you have placed your heart in very dangerous positions. Psalms 144. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. 2 Corinthians 7:10. For godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. But the sorrow of this world worketh death. I got to tell you, I don't think that probably 10% of Christians believe that scripture because they get into sorrow. Sorrow is depression. They get into depression and they live there. They live there and they wonder why death is taking place in their life, in their family, in their finances, in their bodies. Sorrow of this world works. This is New Testament. This is under the unction of the Holy Spirit of God, directly to born-again people in the Church of Corinth, and so therefore us as well. Godly sorrow, which means man. I am off track, and I need to get on track. Repentance means to change your mind, change your way of thinking. Godly sorrow works repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. Salvation, health, protection, prosperity, all the things that go into sozo. This is soteria. All the things that you want in your life that are really good for your life, they are produced from changing your way of thinking. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Your life is an exact... Amen. Your life is exactly today what you have planted in your garden yesterday. If you want to eat something different, plant something different. But the sorrow of this world works death. You know, those evil emotions, those unhinged emotions, those uncontrollable emotions, you know, one of the fruits of the Spirit is self-control. Those emotions that just seem like they're guiding you around by the nose, pulling you wherever they're supposed to pull you. Guess what they're trying to pull you into? The last word of that sentence. Proverbs 17:22, a merry heart does good like a medicine. Who believes that? Don't raise your hand because it's in the Bible. Who really believes that? Because I could come over to your house and look in your medicine cabinet. Good luck. And if I see stickers of happy faces in there, oh, amen. You can giggle about it, but it's the facts. Did you consult the great physician before you consulted the other physician? Did you go to the great pharmacist before you went to the other pharmacist? Do you really believe that scripture? Do you really believe that a merry heart does good like a medicine? When you feel under the weather, when you feel like you're down, when you feel like you're down in the dumps. What a word. Down in the dumps. Dear Lord, if you could ever make it more graphic. Do you really go to a merry heart? Where do you get a merry heart from? The good news. The good news. Good news makes you merry. Or do you go to the Advil? Or do you go to the ibuprofen? Or do you go to... Come on now. Amen. Is this too close to home? Am I too deep in your sandbox? Do I need to get out? A merry heart does good like a medicine. But a broken spirit, check this out. But the broken spirit dries the bones. You know what that means? Your bones become brittle, easily broken. Is anybody in here easily broken where it just like snap and you're ready to kill somebody? Hey, nobody in here, right? Because you're in church and you don't want to tell nobody next to you that you're just ready to snap. Man, your emotions are, if you have unhinged emotions, if you find yourself emotionally distraught all the time, I will tell you it's because your heart is out of balance. It is not the chemicals in your brain. The chemicals in your brain may be messed up, yes, but I believe it's because your heart was messed up first, and then they caused the root that's the problem in your brain. Amen. Praise God. And, you know, the good news has a way of fixing that. Psalms 42:11. Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him. Who is the health of my countenance and my God? He's the health of my face. And he's my God. Here's the thing. Your countenance will reflect your belief in how great your God is. Amen. This is a good sermon. I am so glad I came tonight. This is a really good sermon. Amen. This is good stuff. This will help your life. This is really tangible stuff. If you really believe that your God was who your God says that he is, there would be nothing that came into your life that would take you emotionally, mentally somewhere that you don't want to be. Nothing. If you really, really believed that your God was who he says that he is. Ah, praise God. If you really believe that Jesus was high and lifted up and the train of his robe fills the temple of your heart, then there would be nothing that would get anywhere close to the temple of your heart. No bad news could ever trump the good news. No evil reports could ever trump the good reports. Remember David? Great man of God, running from Saul for 13 years, finds himself holed up in a cave after the Philistine army come and took him and his mighty men, all their women, all their children, all their animals, took everything away from him. And his boys, his 300 men, these guys that were with him, do or die. Mighty men of valor, the Bible called them. Valor. Something that's like God inspired. Go read 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 7. It says, when they were trying to stone him, it said his men were having a conversation about stoning him. Let me show you what that looks like. Hey, Vince, you know that pastor over at Beloved Church? That guy's a jerk. Man, he's got a crazy accent, wears cowboy boots some of the time. I mean, that, you know what I'm talking about. You're that guy. You know what we should do? We should throw rocks at him. I think we should do that. So while this conversation is going on, Pastor Steve, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, is over here going, David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. While they were talking, David was greatly distressed, for the people spake a stone in him, because the souls of the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord, his God. It wasn't the Lord God. It was the Lord, his God. 300, he's in a cave trapped. He's got the Philistine army out there, and he's got 300 guys in here that are having a backroom conversation about how what size rocks they're all going to pick up and bash over his head. And what does he do? No, he encourages himself in the Lord, his God. A lot of the reasons that we can't encourage ourselves in God is because we really don't think that he's our God. It could be Dennis's God. You know, he's really holy. You know, maybe it's somebody else's God. Ryan, he's totally anointed. He's got to have a great relationship with God. He can encourage himself and his God, but what do I have? Little or nothing. Except for the Holy Spirit. Oh, praise Jesus. Then there's that. Psalms 144, happy is that people, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. You all believe that scripture? One yes. Amen. Thought we were a Bible church. Happy is the people whose God is the Lord. I can, based upon this scripture, I can stick a happy thermometer in your woohoo, and I can tell whether the God is your God. Based upon the happy meter. When I pull it out, it should say really happy because the God, verse 15, big boy. You guys, I'm in one place, you're in another. Happy is that people, such a case. Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Happy! Amen. But I thought emotions were just those weird things that nobody's supposed to deal with. No, emotions are a gift from God to be used and to be to help heighten the relationship that we have with our Creator. He gave them to us. We're supposed to have them on purpose, but they're supposed to be as a reflection of God in our life. We're supposed to be happy because God is the Lord. You believe that? You should be happy. There's good news that goes with that. Hebrews chapter 12, therefore seeing, verse 1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with such a great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. That could be emotional, right? Anybody ever feel like they're weighed down by depression, oppression, emotional problems? Let us lay aside every weight and the sin, the missing of the mark of your divine destiny that doth so easily beset us. You know how you get it? You breathe. You walk around in this world breathing. That is how things try to attack you, because you're living in this world. Until heaven comes down and we all walk in the gate, there's going to be things to deal with. I'm not trying to belittle. I'm not trying to not be empathetic. I'm not trying to not be compassionate. I understand. People are up against huge, major issues. I get that. But all I'm saying is that I believe your God is bigger than your issue. The God that I read in the Bible holds the universe in the palm of his hand. Now tell me again about your mountain. You know, it may look like a mountain to you, but you're on the earth. To God, who's holding the universe in his hand, he's like, what mountain? Where is it again? Which one of these beat the cross? Which one of these kept Jesus in the grave? And lay aside the sin and the weight which doth so easily beset us. You know, it's easy to let this world dictate to you how you're going to feel, how you're going to react. Well, she did this, so I have to do this. No, you don't have to. You can just give her grace. The world has to do that because they have a dictator. You have a king. You know what the king says? Let every word be seasoned with grace. Speak the truth in love. That's what your king says. And let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of the persuasions of our heart. That's what faith is. The persuasion of your heart is from looking unto Jesus, who's the author of your heart, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Was Jesus on the cross going, I've got the joy down in my heart. Where? Down in my heart. Where? Down in. Joy is not Jesus standing on the cross giggling. Joy was Jesus believing that there was an end to the suffering that was going to be followed up by a resurrection. He had faith in his daddy bringing him out of the grave so he could endure the cross for the joy that was set before him. I'm not saying that the things that you're in your life right now in this moment are not weighty. I'm not saying that they don't have the potential, the real legitimate potential to bring sorrow to you. All I'm telling you is that if Jesus can endure the cross for the joy that was set before him, you can endure this life for the joy that's going to be in eternity. You have a big God. He's bigger than your problems. If you really believed in the size of your God, you would totally delineate the size of your problems. And it's set down, despising the shame. I don't want to preach on that. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Hallelujah. Next verse. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. If you are weary and fainting in your minds, this is your scripture. If you are considering Jesus the author and the finisher of the persuasion of your heart, you cannot be wearied or faint in your minds. If you come up to me and you say, I am wearied and faint in my minds, I will tell you that you are not considering Jesus the author and the finisher of the persuasion of your heart. You cannot do both at the same time. You cannot do it. This scripture says you cannot. You need to consider Jesus. You consider Jesus. You consider the price that he paid for your life. You consider him, what he endured for us to have access to such a great salvation. And your problems, I promise you, they will fly away. Fly away. You spend 2 hours in worship on a Friday night when everybody else is watching TV and zoning out on pizza. And you see if there's not an effect in your life. You see if there's not an effect in your life. I'm going to leave you with this. Hebrews 1:9. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Talking about Jesus. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. Jesus had the oil, the warm, sticking, skin-soaking oil of joy above his fellows because he loved righteousness. He loved the innocence that was in his life, and he hated anything that would have taken him away from the mark of what he was created for, the divine purpose of his life. Anything that would have taken him away from his divine purpose, he hated it. And he loved living in perfect innocence, being celebrated by the Father. And so therefore he operated in joy above his fellows. Can't stand these somber pictures of Jesus that hang in a lot of churches looking like he just had a bad day as well. And you walk into that place and you see a picture of Jesus having a bad day and you wonder why you walk out having a bad day. Amen. Jesus was a happy guy. If the scriptures are true, Jesus was a happy guy. And the scriptures are true. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. When a person's merry, their face will show it. If you're happy and you know it, your face will show it. If you're happy and you know it, Amen. It is time for us to take charge of those things that try to drag us away from the effects of the kingdom of God in our lives. Amen? Amen. We can do this. We can do this. It says in Philippians 3, 8, I think it is, it says that you're supposed to think on these things, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are of good report. If there be any virtue and there be any praise, think on these things. You know what's implied there? You can. God would not command you to do something that you can't do, so therefore you can do it. You can choose to think on things that are lovely. Or you can choose to think on things that are unlovely. Amen? Amen. You can do this. You can commit to this. And you can change this tonight. And you can have the attitude that a person who's been affected by the greatest good news that's ever been. Praise Jesus. Father, I bless these people right now. I thank you, Lord, that every one of their hearts are merry in the good news. I thank you, Lord, that they are understanding the size of their God, not the size of their problems. I thank you, Lord, that their emotions are now coming under the jurisdiction of their king, instead of being the dictators of their lives. I thank you, Lord, that they're being set free from all those things that used to bind them up. They are being released from all the things that the law of Moses could not set them free from. They are being set free through the Spirit of God. The Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made them free from the sin and death that is in this world. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you that they are taking this into their heart. This is going deeper than just into their cognizance. This is going deeper than just into their intellect. It's going into their heart. And I thank you, Lord, that your word declares that when these things go into their heart, they will produce 30, 60, and 100. And so I believe that it's coming back. It's going to produce fruits in their life that are eternal and perpetual. We thank you so much for that truth, and we pray together in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All right. A merry heart makes a happy face. A merry heart makes a happy face. Hey, if you've brought any treasure, there's a treasure chest over there. There's also free materials. Make sure, for you visitors, there's free materials over there. You can take any of that stuff home that you want. If you want prayer for anything, I'm happy to...